This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris with the story of an out-of-the-ordinary summer road trip. A few years ago, Timothy Beale piled his family into a motorhome and hit the highway. They didn't head to Disney World or the Grand Canyon. They took a tour of religious roadside attractions in America, large and small. In Alabama, a folk art conglomeration of crosses and other religious signs. In Kentucky, a miniature golf course built around a Bible theme. And in North Carolina, the world's largest Ten Commandments. Now, a little explanation might be in order. Timothy Beale is a professor of religion at Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland. His wife is a Presbyterian minister. Professor Beale says the inspiration for their journey came to them on a drive through Maryland.
We crested a hill just outside Frostburg, Maryland, and saw this giant steel girder structure languishing in this open field. And in front of it, as we drove by, we saw this big blue sign that said, "Noah's Ark being rebuilt here." And you might say that Noah and his ark lingered in our minds a little bit longer than it took for it to disappear in our rearview mirror. By the time we pulled into our driveway in Shaker Heights that evening, we'd begun hatching plans for a family summer road trip where we would go and we would visit places like this and others that we knew about and get to know the stories behind the places.
Was this an academic endeavor for you then, or was it more of a personal journey?
I think it began as an academic endeavor for sure, but in the course of the travels and in the course of my writing about these places, it became a much more personal journey. As a scholar of religion, I was interested in these places as expressions of religious imagination and wanted to take them seriously as religious phenomena. On another more personal level, I was drawn to these places and to the people who create them and take care of them as expressions of faith in all of its spectacular absurdity. I was interested in, I guess you might say, peeking beyond the fences of cynicism that normally enclose me in my daily life and encountering this kind of awesomely absurd faith.
In your travels, you visited both the kitschy and the spectacular. I'd like you to tell us about the Holy Lands, and I use the plural of that word because there are actually two of these large so-named attractions that are almost like amusement parks. There's Holy Land USA in Bedford County, Virginia, and the Holy Land Experience, which you call the Magic Kingdom Come.
Right. Holy Land USA is a 250-acre recreation of Palestine during the time of Jesus, nestled in the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia. To experience Holy Land USA, you take this trail called Journey Trail. It's a 3-mile loop, and you start down in Bethlehem, and you go up this trail, which goes up the Jordan Valley, and gets you to the Sea of Galilee, a small pond. And then you go down the Jordan Valley again and end in Jerusalem, with a recreation of Calvary, the place of the crucifixion, and the empty tomb underneath it.
What did people experience when they went through that tour?
By the time we had gotten to the end of the tour and were there at Calvary and at the empty tomb, it was clear that many people on the trip were having quite a profound religious experience by this time. And I think that as you travel this space, you progress through the story. It's kind of putting biblical narrative into a spatial form. And so as you move along through the space, you're also moving through the biblical story, the gospel story. And when you get to the place of the crucifixion and the resurrection, then I think many people really were experiencing that gospel story in a more profound way. There were people on their knees in front of the cross.
How did that compare and contrast to the Holy Land Experience, where people, I understand, come from all over the country to experience the crucifixion?
Holy Land Experience is a 15-acre, $16 million Disney-esque recreation of various sacred places from the Holy Land, including a half-scale Herod's Temple, a tabernacle, of course, you've got Calvary and the empty tomb. That's a must at any Holy Land recreation. There are live actors wandering around. You know, over at Disney World, you can get a signature from Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck or Snow White. And here, you might be able to get a signature for your little scrapbook from Moses or a leper or something like that.
And they do have—it's like a living museum. They actually have lepers that are laying about.
Yeah, they do.
Throughout the kingdom.
There was a leper there. I somewhat timidly approached him. He was sitting, looked like he was on break to me, and I approached him and said, you know, can I take your picture? And he immediately struck the pose, you know, with his head tilted and his hands outstretched, begging for the picture.
Why do people do these things? Why do people build these attractions, and why do people go to them?
I would say that in the places that were most compelling to me, what I found was that the place was a very spectacularly public expression of a very deeply personal and private kind of religious experience, and that it was born of some kind of compulsion to express this very personal experience in a very public way. Oftentimes, it was a painful thing to do. I think in other cases, though, the stuff just accumulated over time and eventually became a roadside religious attraction. It just sort of happened accidentally over time.
What did your kids think of this? This is not your standard family vacation.
No, it's not. My daughter, after the trip, you know, she does ballet, and she's there sitting in a circle with the other girls in the ballet class, and the teacher says, "Well, tell us what you did for your summer vacation this year." And you know, so they're going around, and oh, I went to Paris, and she gets to Sophie, and Sophie says, "Well, we went in this motorhome through the South visiting Bible theme parks and religious attractions like that." And the teacher said, "I'm not even going to ask." Just went on to the next person. You know, the thing is that for them, these places, and really for me, these places were in many ways just as exotic as, you know, a Buddhist temple in Tibet or something like this. I mean, so it really was an encounter with an unfamiliar religious world.
Tim, it's been good talking to you. Thanks for coming in.
It's been great talking with you too, Michelle.
Timothy K. Beale is the author of Roadside Religion, In Search of the Sacred, the Strange, and the Substance of Faith.
You can read an excerpt and see a few pictures at our website, npr.org.